This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello, this is Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading summaries of articles on neurological surgery outcomes, oncology, stereotactic radiosurgery, vascular disorders and traumatic brain injury, published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on May 30th, 2014. The effect of duty hour regulations on outcomes of neurological surgery in training hospitals in the United States. Duty hour regulations and patient outcomes. A clinical article by Kirsten Norby and colleagues. The effects of sleep deprivation on physician performance have been well documented and have led to changes in resident duty hour regulation. The goal of this study was to determine if increased regulation of resident duty hours results in changes in patient outcomes. The population used for analysis was derived from the nationwide inpatient sample. Patients undergoing neurosurgical procedures at hospitals with neurosurgery training programs were identified and screened. Comparisons were made before and after the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, or ACGME, regulations were put into effect in 2003. The author's study demonstrates that restriction of resident duty hours has not resulted in statistically significant changes in major outcomes among neurosurgical patients. Interestingly, the regulations appear to be associated with an increase in the frequency of postoperative complications and discharge to long-term care facilities in the years immediately following the implementation in the neurosurgical training programs in the United States. Given the large cost of implementing these regulations and the potential unintended negative impact on resident training, the authors question the wisdom of continuing to promote these restrictions in the absence of data that clearly demonstrate a clinically important positive effect on patient welfare. Volumetric response to radiosurgery for brain metastasis varies by cell of origin. A clinical article by Aditya Iyer and co-authors. Stereotactic radiosurgery is an important modality for treating patients with brain metastases, having a reported control rate of 70 to 90%. However, the radiobiological response after radiosurgery is complex and dynamic. To better understand this, the authors quantitatively analyzed the volumetric response profiles of lung, breast, and melanoma metastases following gamma knife radiosurgery. They studied serial magnetic resonance images from patients with non-small cell lung cancer, breast cancer, or melanoma. They characterized the tumor response profiles as a sustained decrease, a transient decrease, or a sustained increase in tumor volume. They found that patients with non-small cell lung cancer were most likely to exhibit a sustained decrease in tumor volume. Breast cancer patients were most likely to have a transient decrease, and melanoma patients were most likely to exhibit a sustained increase in tumor volume after radiosurgery. The volumetric response profile was associated with survival only in breast cancer patients, who had a median survival of 16.6 months after radiosurgery if they exhibited a sustained decrease in tumor volume, 18.1 months if they exhibited a transient decrease, and 7.5 months if they exhibited a sustained increase. In summary, the response to radiosurgery for metastatic brain tumors depends partly on the tumor type. However, the type of response correlates with survival only in patients with metastatic breast cancer. Gamma knife surgery for arteriovenous malformations within or adjacent to the ventricles. A clinical article by Greg Bowden and co-workers. Arteriovenous malformations within or adjacent to the ventricular system are located in a distinct anatomical environment that may affect the clinical presentation, hemorrhage rates, and response to stereotactic radiosurgery. This prompted the authors to review the outcomes and hemorrhage risks associated with intraventricular and periventricular arteriovenous malformations managed by Gamma Knife surgery. This single-institution retrospective analysis reviewed the experience at the University of Pittsburgh with Gamma Knife surgery between 1987 and 2009. During this time, 188 patients underwent Gamma Knife surgery for periventricular and intraventricular arteriovenous malformations, with a median follow-up of 65 months. The actuarial rates of complete arteriovenous malformation obliteration were 32% at 3 years, 60% at 5 years, and 64% at 10 years. Higher rates of obliteration were obtained in the 26 patients with intraventricular arteriovenous malformations. 25 patients, or 13%, sustained a hemorrhage during the initial latency interval after Gamma Knife surgery, indicating an annual hemorrhage rate of 3.4% prior to obliteration. No patient suffered a hemorrhage after obliteration was confirmed by imaging. Permanent neurological deficits due to adverse radiation effects developed in 7 patients, or 4%. Although patients demonstrated an elevated hemorrhage risk, Gamma Knife surgery still proved to be a generally safe and effective treatment for patients with these high-risk intraventricular and periventricular arteriovenous malformations. Relevance of early head CT scans following neurosurgical procedures. An analysis of 892 intracranial procedures at Rush University Medical Center. A clinical article by Ricardo Fontes and colleagues. Early postoperative head CT scanning is performed following intracranial procedures for detection of complications, but its real value remains uncertain. Abnormal results are frequently found, but active emergency intervention based on these findings may be rare. The authors analyzed all intracranial procedures performed at Rush University over a full year and compiled data from 892 procedures. Patients were classified in one of 4 categories according to postoperative neurological status: intact, expected change, unexpected change, and sedated or comatose. Unexpected early postoperative CT results after the procedure were classified based on the action taken: type 1, additional observation or CT, type 2, active non-surgical intervention, and type 3, surgical intervention. Patients with unexpected neurological changes or who were in the sedated or comatose group had significantly more unexpected findings on the postoperative CT scan, with odds ratios of 19.2 and 2.3, respectively. They also had required more active surgical and non-surgical interventions than patients at baseline, mostly on an immediate basis. No patients at baseline or with expected neurological changes required an immediate return to the operating room. The authors conclude that obtaining early CT scans should not be a priority in intact patients, and that CT scans may even be cancelled in favour of MRI studies if those have already been planned and can be performed safely and in a timely manner. Thank you for listening. The JNS mobile app is now available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.